Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the San Marino to my St. Kitts and Nevis. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Oh, Justin, commiserations to San Marino. We thought this might be the opportunity for them to finally get that W on the board, but it wasn't to be. So my heart goes out to all the people of San Marino. But look, I'm not too far away from there, Justin. I'm in Italia once again. I'm in Rome, and I tell you what, it's been bloody lovely, Justin, over the past few days.
I'm sure it is. I've never been a big fan of Rome. I've never been actually.
Oh,
but I've always been a little bit sceptical of Rome.
I've never been a big fan of Rome, but I've never been.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's completely sound logic.
I need a bit of an explanation here, please.
I don't know, it just seems too touristy, it seems too busy. I'm a bit more, take me off the beaten track, you know. I love that side of Italy rather than the busy tourist areas that you're probably indulging in.
Well, that's because you're a massive hipster, first of all. Yeah. But for me, Rome's my favourite city in the world. I absolutely love it here, Justin. Yeah, it's between that and Stoke. Stoke upon Stoke. But it's a close one between the two, but I think Rome just edges it, just because you can't really go wrong with the place. It's bloody unbelievable. Everywhere, every time you turn around the corner, there's some architectural beauty in front of you.
Fantastic. What's your favourite dish you've had out there? And I feel like your ability to really bring some culture into your life is going to fall flat here.
I had a dish last night, but I can't remember what it was called. It was like, it was some sort of pasta with, you know, just cheese and bacon. I don't know what it was, to be honest.
You've had cheese and bacon pasta. You've got the palate of a 9-year-old, and it's showing again. It's showing once again. Exceptional. You've gone to what you describe as a beautiful city, and you've had cheese and bacon pasta.
I mean, what do you expect? I'm in Rome. I'm going to eat pizza and pasta. What else am I going to bloody eat? Welcome to the No More Championship Podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, this is a midweek edition of the Second Tier, so we've got some news for us to talk about, even though it is an international break, so it usually is a bit quieter around this time of year. However, there's still quite a bit that's happened, so we'll talk about some of the news from the past few days, including Birmingham pushing the button on getting a new manager in, and also the government's plan for an independent football regulator, as well as a couple of other bits as well, which we'll discuss. And we've also got the usual Streets Won't Forget players and footballers our listeners have met in strange places. So let's kick things off, Justin, with Birmingham, who have brought back Gary Rowett as interim boss until the end of the season. It says they've won just 1 point in 6 games since Tony Mowbray went on medical leave. And that will now continue until pre-season of next season, Mowbray's medical leave. Mowbray's assistant, Mark Venus, has been in charge. He'll now take a leave of absence until Mowbray returns. And Justin, this is a dramatic call, isn't it? I was saying Birmingham should do this in Sunday's episode. What do you think of it all?
I think it's the right thing to do because the club needs to get out of trouble. The club needs, I wouldn't say a fresh pair of eyes, but a unified pair of eyes. And obviously, I think with Mark Venus taking a leave of absence until Tony Mowbray returns, I think it's probably a good thing because there's going to be maybe a difference in ideas between Gary Rowett and Mark Venus or whatnot. But I think, you know, just a fresh pair of eyes on things is going to help. The players need consistency and continuity with their head coach or manager. And Gary Rowett is going to bring that. But first and foremost, Birmingham need to get out of trouble without a shadow of doubt. And they have been unfortunate in that Mowbray's needed to take this leave of absence due to his health. It's just, you know, it's bad timing, but he's got to prioritise his health. And that's absolutely the main thing for Mowbray here. But as a football club, this has probably been the most sensible decision they've made, bar hiring Tony Mowbray and bringing Gary Rowett in between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, well, if Mowbray hadn't had this leave of absence, I'm still confident they would have got away from the relegation zone and stayed up quite comfortably. If he came back after the international break, then I'd probably still say the same thing. But you can't go on with this uncertainty of not knowing when he's back. Because unfortunately, as we're seeing right now, it's leaving Birmingham in an even more perilous position as the weeks go by. Because there's simply too much at stake here. Birmingham City cannot afford to go down, particularly with these new owners. So getting somebody in is 100% the right call. And I think they've got the perfect man in Gary Rowett. There was a bit of confusion initially with reports saying he was going to be the interim boss. There was other reports saying he's going to be in some sort of consultancy role mm-hmm. while Venus continues. If the consultancy thing happened, I think we'd be sat here right now a bit worried, because we've seen this happen before. I mean, the best example I can think of, Justin, is when Derby County had a guy called Darren Wassell in charge a few years ago. Now, he was initially the academy coach there, and it wasn't going very well for him when he was given the job until the end of the season. So I think they got Harry Redknapp in, didn't they, as a consultant? And things didn't really improve. So I was a bit worried about a similar thing happening here with that. So I'm glad that they've got an interim boss in, because, look, it's Gary Rowett. I'm going to use that old cliche. He knows the club, which is an important thing. But also, he's just such a solid manager at this level. He's such a safe pair of hands, isn't he? And I'm pretty confident right now in saying they should stay up with Gary Rowett in charge, because I know confidence is at such a low ebb right now for Birmingham, but it's Gary Rowett, and he's got a proven track record of getting players playing confidently again, organising them and just grinding out results. And that's exactly what Birmingham need, isn't it, Justin?
Spot on. I don't think it's about Gary Rowett knowing the club, because I think the club's vastly different to the one he left years ago. I think it's more so the fact that he knows the Championship, he knows how to get results, and he's a leader. He's a good tactician as well. And they're all the variables you need for some short-term success, which is absolutely what Birmingham need. I think if you go back to when Gary Rowett was initially appointed as Birmingham boss, they'd just come in off the back of an 8-0 defeat to Bournemouth, if you remember. So they need to get results after that. Prior to that, was absolutely necessary. And he took over Millwall in a similar position when obviously he went there, albeit at a different time of the season. So he had a bit more of a longer period to get Millwall, guide Millwall out of relegation danger. But he took over Millwall in a similar position and guide them out. He just knows how to get results. And he's that sort of guy as well. He's likable. I know opposition fans, he's a bit of a love to hate character. But I think I rate him incredibly high. I think he's one of the best managers in the Championship in terms of just being able to get results. Style of play isn't for everybody, but at this point, Birmingham don't need style of play, they need results, and that's what he's going to deliver.
Yeah, well, we've always said this with Gary Rowett. Well, I've always said it anyway, that he's got a brilliant track record of just doing a good job, not really ever doing an extremely good job. Definitely not doing a poor job, but everywhere he's gone, he's just done a good job. And when you've got that kind of record, someone like Gary Rowett is pretty much perfect for this role. So that's why I think it's just spot on that they've got him in. And this is basically the safe option, isn't it? Because they could have continued with Mark Venus and decided, look, we'll put our faith in Mowbray when he comes back. But there's just too much at stake here. And you could look at it and say that maybe it may be taken in some sort of way that it may be a bit disrespectful to Mowbray to take him out of the firing line and say, look, we'll just knock this down the line until you can come back until next season. But I think they've just done the safest thing here, and I think that's a very sensible thing for these owners to do. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if Rowett does a great job, though, Justin, because, say, we've got 8 games left, right? If they won 5 or 6 games between now and the end of the season, that could put Birmingham in a bit of a tricky position, couldn't it? Because they've technically got 2 managers right now. So maybe they may be put in an awkward position where they may look at it and go, I mean, Rowett's done enough to justify him getting the job next season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a unique scenario. But I think for Gary Rowett, it's just one of those possibilities that Not possibility, sorry. It's a scenario where he's going to come in, and if he does a good job, he's going to open himself up to other roles within the division, should roles become available in the summer. I think that's the key thing here for Gary Rowett. I don't think he will see himself as Birmingham boss, unless Moby decides to step down permanently in the summer, then that might be the case and the job might open up for Rowett. But I think for him, it's just an opportunity to showcase what he can do, because I think when he left Millwall, it was one of those... You know, the tenure just came to a natural end. And obviously Millwall have struggled since, and they are now getting results under Neil Harris. But it didn't end particularly nicely for him in a football sense, because they weren't doing very well. So I think now for old GR, for old Gary, he's got the opportunity to really put himself back in the shop window and open himself to other jobs, whether that's a Birmingham one and others, who knows. But I think it's a really good opportunity for him as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Justin, because you're right, the Millwall job did kind of, it fell a bit flat towards the end, didn't it? And I think people may forget, based off the back of that, how good a manager Gary Rowett is at this level, because you're looking top 12, aren't you? Top 12 managers in the division when he's in a full-time role. So you're right, this puts him back in the shop window. It's a great opportunity for him, and it just makes sense for all parties, really, doesn't it? Let's move on to this, Justin. And the UK government has introduced plans for an independent football regulator. It would grant powers to a body independent of government and football authorities to oversee clubs in England's top five men's tiers. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said it is a historic moment for football fans. One person who will be punching the air in delight at this news will be the man I'm looking at right now, Justin Peach, because it's something that he has been repeatedly shouting from the rooftops for a number of years now, Justin. You must be delighted.
I am really pleased. It needs to happen, doesn't it? It absolutely needs to happen. Someone needs to tell football in the UK that, no, mate, you've fucked up. We can't have that. because too many times, football clubs have fallen foul to bad ownership and bad regulation, if you like. The Premier League has called the shots for 30 years since it was formed, and I think that's not been a healthy thing for the EFL. And as I say, it all trickles down. So you get this independent regulator telling people, actually, no, you can't do that. It's only going to I think change the way football is run in this country and the way it needs to be run in this country. As I say, the current owners of football clubs in the Premier League and the EFL are running the leagues. It's just, it can't be done. It cannot be done. We see time and time again, or we hear time and time again, how the EFL, Rick Parry, the head of EFL, etc., how his hands are tied in terms of how they can govern. Well, actually, this might improve things a little bit. So, yeah, I'm really optimistic, really, really optimistic. I don't like the way Rishi Sunak coined it as a historic moment for football fans, but that might just be because he's... bit of a pleb.
Why don't you like that?
I don't think it's a historic moment for football fans. I think it's just something that's born out of necessity. I don't think there's anything historic about it. What would be historic about it would be a new financial deal for the EFL, new TV rights for the EFL. That would make history for me, not necessarily someone independent coming in and telling football clubs they're a bit shit at what they're doing.
Okay, fine. I was interested to see, while it's not been completely nailed down what exactly the powers this regulator has, I was interested to see that it could help in cases like Reading, what we're seeing right now, because everyone is very quick to point the finger at the EFL not being able to do more about the current Reading situation. But from what I've read, it seems like the regulator would be able to do something, because the EFL's hands right now are pretty tied, whereas the regulator may be able to actually do something about it and take the power out of the hands of people like Dai Young, and actually get the club away from these people. I was a bit surprised to see that, assuming this all gets approved, we won't actually have a regulator in place until the summer of 2025. I say that because this has been spoken about for so long now that I thought we'd be a bit further down the line with actually having one in place. But I suppose the procedures have to, take their time. But even though it's not been rubber stamped yet, it's only a matter of time before it happens. And that's because there's cross-party support here. And that's because everyone wants it to happen. And that's a great thing. The only people who don't want this to happen is, of course, the Premier League. And I, for one, am loving how much of a bitter pill this is for them to swallow, because you're right, Justin, for so long they've been, you know, swinging their body parts around in people's faces saying, no, we've got the power here and we can do whatever we bloody well like. Well, now the power is hopefully going to be put back in the fans. And that's a bloody great feeling, I think. So for once, we're looking at this and saying, you know what? The government's done something right.
Yeah, the old Premier League helicopter's done now. In for a new time, in for a new age. Here we go. The government has done something right. And as you say, everyone wants it. It's a cross-party unification, which is ideal because we don't get many of those nowadays, if anyone follows politics. But it's necessary. And as I say, Premier League have been calling the shots for years. And I think taking that... The power away from them as such. I still think they will still have power, but they just can't have that sort of, we know what we're doing. We're doing it right, sort of thing. Because they're not. It's an unsustainable financial model, and someone needs to tell them that.
That's what we've seen with the deal, isn't it, Justin? That's what we've seen with the deal. The deal with the Football League to try and get a financial package sorted between the Premier League and the Football League. It's been blocked by the big clubs, reportedly, anyway. So this is a great way to hopefully get that deal sorted, provide financial stability for the rest of the league, and just make it so the Premier League and the big boys right at the top don't have as much of a say.
I was reading from journalist Jonathan Wilson in The Guardian that the reason why the Premier League clubs are so angry and so annoyed is because they'll have to pick up the bill as well. So once again, it comes down to a finance thing with the Premier League, and obviously this new deal as well. They just don't like parting with money, which again, it makes it a little bit more sweeter for me.
Yeah, well, the only other thing I would mention with this is, even though this regulator has, well, it looks like it's going to be on its way very soon, and that's very good news, I wouldn't completely put it down as a 100% good thing, because even though this regulator is independent, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to do decisions which everyone agrees with. And even though it is independent, that does have the potential for it to be swayed by other parties further down the line. That's just one thing I would put out there as a bit of a word of caution for people, that even though this has been brought in, it's not going to be something that I think everyone will 100% agree with all the time. So that's just something to keep in mind. But overall, it looks like this is a really good thing for English football as a whole, and particularly Championship clubs. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll talk about some of the other news from the Championship over the past few days.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Second Sear podcast. This is a news roundup of everything that's happened in the Championship over the past few days. And here's a couple of other reports, Justin, which I have seen, which have caught my eye. And this is about Watford, of course, looking for a new manager after sacking Valley and Ishmael, with Tom Cleverley currently in interim charge. And Watford are considering, reportedly, Wigan boss Sean Maloney as their new manager, according to Football Insider. What do you think about this, Justin? I'm not too sure about it.
I want to say Sean Maloney's a really good job, and I'll get on Sean Maloney in a moment. But it just depends with Watford. I don't know. They've tried managers with different personalities, different styles of play, different temperaments, and Has it worked? No, it hasn't really. They've tried managers who have had varying degrees of success in the Championship, like Chris Wilder, Slaven Bilic, both been promoted, not worked out. They've gone for a younger manager, Rob Edwards, didn't work out for them. They've gone for Valerian Ismail, didn't work out for them, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. They've tried everything and it's not worked. Sean Maloney's maybe a little bit different in the sense that he's young and inexperienced, a bit like Rob Edwards. And I say, look, Maloney deserves a lot of credit for what he's achieved at Wigan since taking over last season. He stabilised them last year and they went down with a little bit of dignity because Kolo Touré tried his very best to take it away along with the owners. But and this season on a shoestring budget in League One and with a points penalty, it's worth noting, he's guided them to mid-table. And it's mixed with the inexperienced and players who have been, you know, relatively unfancied or have had poor form in previous years. So I think that's a really good thing. Youngsters Sam Tickle and Charlie Hughes have progressed really nicely under him as well. Is that enough for Watford to take the risk and bring him in? I don't think so. I think he needs a little bit more time to cut his cloth. But at the same time, it's Watford. They have such a spontaneous way of recruiting managers. And, you know, as you say, it's just a dartboard and they'll throw a dart and they'll see who it lands on.
Yeah, well, you've given a pretty good summary there, Justin, of what Maloney's done at Wigan. He's done a really good job, hasn't he, in difficult circumstances. And he does deserve a lot of respect for that. He doesn't exactly get me off my seat, though. If Watford were to get him in, I'd be looking at that and thinking that's a bit of an underwhelming move. I think they should go for a young manager who they can put in charge for the long term. Sean Maloney is still only 41, so I suppose he falls into the young manager category still. But I'm looking for someone who's a bit more progressive than him, I think. Maybe that's Tom Cleverley. We don't know. It's such a small sample size with him that it's very early in the process to say whether he's the man to take them forward or not. Of course, he is a bit of a club favourite there for fans and players and club hierarchy and whatever. So if he does do well, I still think he would be a decent appointment for them. If they're not going to look at Cleverley, then they should look at someone further down the pecking order in terms of the football pyramid hierarchy. Whether that's Maloney or not, I don't think so. I think you're looking at someone. I mean, the ideal candidate here is Rob Edwards, obviously, when he was back in charge just over a year ago. And they did a great job of really ballsing that up, didn't they? So they had the man there ready for them, but they, you know, threw him straight into the bin. And, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, as we found out with Luton. Do you agree with me, Justin? Do you think that's the kind of manager they should get in, a young manager like Rob Edwards?
I mean, if Rob Edwards is available. No, I do agree. I think this is probably the route they've got to go down. And I think if Tom Cleverley does pass his audition, if you like, then maybe he is the man to do it. I do think Sean Maloney needs a little bit more time. I disagree in the sense that, you know, progressive football, he does try and play, you know, a nice, attractive brand of football. I think Matt Smith is a midfielder. Matt Smith is a good testament to that. And he's a deep line playmaker. He likes to play through the thirds a little bit at Wigan. And I think that's an important thing for him. I think, but the other thing is as well, is Watford are going down this route of having a lot of young players within their side, Ismael Kone, Yasser Espria, etc. You know, quite a few young players being bled into the team. And Sean Maloney's got a good history over the last year of doing the very same thing at Wigan. So that might be the key thing here for Watford. But at the same time, Maloney could be out of a job in October. Should he take the Watford job in the summer? And they go through the cycle again. It's just such a volatile world at Vicarage Road, and I don't think it's one that is suitable for a young manager, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, the only other thing I would mention with Watford is, over the years, we've become used to them getting a manager who we've never heard of before and, you know, putting them in charge for 4 months before they inevitably get sacked. However, since they've come down to the Championship, they've used four managers who we all know, don't we? Rob Edwards, Slaven Bilic, Chris Wilder, Valerian Ismail. So I would say to people, don't be surprised if they go down that route again of getting in a more familiar face as opposed to someone we've never heard of, just because Watford don't seem to do that anymore. So who they get in is going to be extremely interesting in the summer. That's got to be said. Now, Justin, this is a very interesting one. This is from Give Me Sport, and they're reporting Leeds could re-sign Calvin Phillips if they get promoted back to the Premier League. Justin, I would love to see this happen. How about you?
No, it needs to happen. It needs to happen because Calvin Phillips is going through Scott Sinclair phase, isn't he? In that, you know, Man City have bought a big money English player, and they're not using him because he just doesn't. Just doesn't fit the mould at the Etihad. It's truly remarkable because we know how good Calvin Phillips is. We know how brilliant he is. He's probably not as good as Rodri, and that's a big thing for him. I mean, it's a bit of an obvious statement, but he's not as good as Rodri, but he's certainly good enough for a team pushing high in the Premier League. I mean, his West Ham move hasn't quite worked out for him. He has made a few errors, and he's now out of the England squad as well, which isn't great for him. But look, if he goes back to Leeds and rediscovers that form that got him into the England squad, I think everyone's going to benefit. Leeds, Calvin Phillips in England. That's what we all want.
That is what we all want, isn't it? I think his Scott Sinclair phase is a bit harsh. I think you're looking more like a James Milner phase, really.
Whoa, because
James
Milner was a massive success at Man City. Huge success.
Was he?
Yeah.
I may just be remembering things wrong. I'm pretty sure there was a player who...
Jack Rodwell. Was Man,
not Jack Rodwell. A player who Man City signed, who they brought in, barely used, and then went off elsewhere and did pretty well. I can't remember who that was. For some reason, I'm thinking it was James Milner, but maybe I'm getting it completely wrong. But anyway, the point is that you're absolutely right. Calvin Phillips has had a stink over the past couple of years, particularly recently with how his move to West Ham has turned out. But look, we're still talking about a guy who Man City deemed good enough to sign for them and is still in the England fold, except that he's not in the England squad now, but he's still in the England fold. So, look, returning to Leeds could reignite his career because he's going back to the club where it all began for him. He's still very much highly thought of by Leeds fans, and they would welcome him back with open arms because that would be an unbelievable move from a Leeds United perspective. And I think looking at it from a purely Championship perspective right now, Justin, I would say, oh God, your dog's not too sure about Calvin Phillips to Leeds, no, okay? Yeah, I didn't want to argue with Casper, but you know.
Yeah, he's a Pep fan. He's a Pep super fan, okay, is Casper. Yeah. So I think what Casper's saying is he came back from the Euros overweight. He can't, yeah. he's got to prove himself. That's all the dog's saying right now.
Yeah, Casper's saying, Calvin Phillips back in the England fold, fucking shite. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Anyway, the point I was making was
4-2-3-1, Southgate out.
Yes, exactly. The point I was going to make it back, to bring it back to Leeds in the Championship is, I think if Leeds were to get promoted, a deeper midfielder is one position they particularly need to strengthen, because I think you're looking at that team and it's quite difficult to pinpoint the massive weaknesses, but I think they could do better in central midfield. But I think Ethan Ampadu next to Calvin Phillips, oh, that's a decent midfield, isn't it?
It does get the mouth watering, although Ethan Ampadu has been absolutely unreal on the side alongside Joe Rodon at a centre back. So whether that makes another space in midfield for him, I mean, Glenn Kamara's done a very good job there, and Gruev's come in as well, and he's been fantastic. So Calvin Phillips will get ahead of both Glenn Kamara and Gruev should he come in. But at the same time, a player of Phillips' calibre, ability, it's going to improve that lead side tenfold and help them stay up. And as I say, we've not seen a Daniel Farke be a success in the Premier League yet. Add Calvin Phillips into that midfield, maybe he might be.
Justin, let's do a round of players our listeners have met in strange places. So this has been an ongoing theme now where listeners have been emailing secondtierpod@gmail.com with players they've met in strange places. It, of course, comes after I mentioned once upon a time how I met Jamie Vardy outside of a train toilet. This is from Matthew Goddard. He says, "Hi guys, I'm a zookeeper, and a few years ago I did a lemur experience for a family. After the encounter, someone who booked it in said he plays for Charlton, apparently. I jumped into immediate investigation mode and looked through the Charlton Athletic squad online to find out It was Captain Jason Pearce. I'm slightly embarrassed to say I didn't recognise him, considering I'm a Leeds fan. However, I was also not expected to take a professional footballer to feed some exotic primates. He was a sound guy and seemed genuinely interested in the animals and the work we do with them. I've got to agree with Appy there. A bit shameful that he didn't recognise a former Leeds player, isn't it?
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think Jason Pearce had a great spell at Leeds, but also just the thought of Jason Pearce taking a great interest in lemurs. Really? is he going to be like, I don't know. I can't imagine a fully grown adult just going, well, oh, these lemurs are in.
He had his family with him, Justin. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping
he did have his family with him. That's what said, actually.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. But I just think as an adult, and I'm not discrediting lemurs. They probably are fascinating species. So apologies for any lemurs out there.
Overrated. You've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe they are. Maybe lemurs are overrated. You know, as far as primates go, as described by the listeners. So I don't think lemurs are that interesting. If I'm going to shout here, I'm going to say Jason Pearce, was he that interested, or was he just
lemur Twitter? Lemur Twitter is going to be kicking off at this. This is such an outrageous shout from Justin Pooch. This is from Ethan Looker. He says, "Hello, Shaggers. Thought I'd raise your self-esteem a bit. First of all, Ethan, we pride ourselves on being virgins. You don't need to call us Shaggers." But Ethan goes on to say, "One day I went up to Scotland for a weekend away and bumped into former Coventry captain Sammy Clingan. He told me he was doing firefighting training. Still got to be one of the strangest things I've ever heard. Turns out he's now a full-time firefighter. Hopefully he sprays the water forward and not just side to side like he did with his passing. Love the pod, Ethan." I once met Sammy Clingan at the Rico Arena. So this is a bit of a tangent of a story here, but I'm going to go down it anyway. So my mum and dad went to see Take That at the Rico Arena several years ago. And because they had restricted viewing, they complained and managed to get free tickets to any game, any Coventry City game at the Rico Arena. So we got... it was great. We're in the box and everything at the Rico Arena. And afterwards, we got to see the man of the match from the Coventry City perspective. And that player was Sammy Clingan. So had a picture with him after the match and everything. And never before did I expect to be so happy to meet such an unremarkable player like Sammy Clingan.
I know. I was going to say, I'm going to tie it back to the entry we had. I think that's one of the best ones we've had, to be honest with you. Sammy Clingan in Scotland doing firefighter training is just so random and so strange. And he's a player so
obscure.
It's perfect because everyone's going to be like, oh, who's Sammy Clingan? Read up about him. There's nothing interesting about him. It's just exactly why he's perfect for it. And then spraying water sideways, I think it's perfect. What an entry. I don't care about you take that anecdote, because no one likes to take that. But that was a great one.
That's a big shout as well. You're picking on lemurs, take that. You are on a warpath today, Justin Peach. Sammy Clingan, by the way, was a regular signing for me on Football Manager about a decade ago. Just a really solid midfielder. This is from John Oliver. You're going to like this one, Justin. "I met my hero, Tony Mowbray, at the Riverside back in December, just gone, when we beat West Brom 1-0. He'd just been sat by Sunderland. John knows him well enough to have had a chat and told him how respected he is by the Second Tier podcast. He obviously doesn't listen to outside noise, but was delighted to know you and Justin had his back. Thank you, John, for getting the word out to old Mobes that we're big fans of him." I love that, Justin.
Oh, yeah, no, that's actually really made my day that Tony Mowbray's benefited from hearing about the Second Tier podcast. Hopefully he's tuned in since then. It would devastate me if he hadn't, but I wouldn't blame him either. He's a busy man, and now he's recovering. Maybe he does need to listen to the podcast, or maybe that will, I don't know, actually really frustrate him.
Maybe.
Who knows?
If you listen, Mobes, then I hope you feel better soon.
Big love, Tony. Big love.
Big fans. We'll send you some Revels in the post. This is from Chris Spencer. He says, "Hi, guys. Massive fan of the content. The only podcast I can listen without falling asleep to. I think that's a compliment. So back in 2011, I was once taken to A&E with a suspected broken arm after a nasty fall during football training in the waiting room at Ipswich Hospital, and none other than David Stockdale was sat opposite me with his family. I didn't have the nerve initially to ask to take the usual photo, so as time goes on, hours and hours of me just staring at him, I was called through first, and I had abruptly told the nurse to hold fire whilst I asked for a photo. David kindly obliged and informed me of his situation. His daughter had a hammer bead lodged in her nose, which would not come out. That sounds nasty, doesn't it? As a young teenager, I was made up, and the pain in my arm had gone to the back of my mind. What a player! We actually spoke to David Stockdale quite a few years ago now, Justin, but he is just such a sweet guy. He's so nice, so I'm not surprised he had a photo with an old Chrissy boy here.
Yeah, and a professional footballer using the NHS, a man of the people. Love it.
Man of the people.
Also,
yeah,
did Chris break his arm? Did he break his arm or not?
Well, I don't know. He didn't say. I assume
he
did.
Suspected broken. So hopefully we hear. Hopefully he didn't. I mean, hopefully we hear that if he did or not. I don't know. I'm on tenterhooks with this story now. I want to know if he broke his arm.
Well, it was 13 years ago, Justin, so I don't think it matters that much. We're not accusing Chris of fraud here. But at the same time, you know, David Stockdale, such a top bloke. I don't know how his daughter ended up with a hammer bead.
What's a hammer bead?
What is a hammer bead? Has he spelled that wrong and said hammerhead? I don't know.
A hammerhead?
Yeah, well, that I don't know.
Jesus.
That's just speculation on my behalf, but I don't know what a hammer bead is.
Can you just get a hammer stuck up your nose? Come on now.
I've got this image of a child with a hammer stuck up their nose.
Child with... Oh, my God. Why are they sat in A&E? That should be rushed.
It's a very good point. Chris has also been in touch with the Streets Won't Forget players, so this is something we've also been doing with the listeners recently. He says for Ipswich, he says it's Giovanni De Santos on loan from Spurs for just 8 games. He scored 4 goals, which included a goal and assist contribution in Ipswich's last win over Norwich back in 2009. Fans still discuss the player to this day, an absolute icon. Giovanni De Santos was, you know, classic Football Manager wonder kid stuff, where he was expected to do massive, massive things, Justin. Didn't work out for him, but bizarrely went from Barcelona to Ipswich in about 12 months. And it's just remarkable.
Yeah, I wouldn't say an incredible drop. Who was he playing under at Ipswich? Was it Roy Keane, Paul Jewell? I can't quite remember the era of manager, but I think that...
Maybe been Magilton, might it?
Oh, yeah, maybe
Magilton was around that kind of era. I think it may have been a bit too early for McCarthy, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, God. Just touch it upon it to Santos in a Mick McCarthy team. Incredible. But that three-month loan system was incredible because the amount of talent that filtered through the Football League was remarkable. Remarkable. And it was an absolute haven for Streets Won't Forget footballers. And it should be brought back. I don't know why it left. I think it's because Watford abuse the system and other clubs abuse the system.
That's exactly
And then it was taken away from us. I want it back. Maybe that's the next thing. We've got a regulator. Now we need to pepper the regulator to get this deployed back into football because that made football better.
I'm not sure about that. But Giovanni De Santos, it's one of those random things, isn't it, where you had a guy who I genuinely remember was being coined the next Ronaldinho playing for Ipswich Town. And you know what? I'm all here for it. It's just one of those great players you forget played for this club moments.
Was a sexy kit then as well. If I remember right, it was the really thin pinstripes with powder on it.
Yes, you're right.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Ooh. Good stuff. And this final one, this is from Paul Salt. He says for Coventry, hello there, Virgins. Our Streets Won't Forget player is Marcus Tudgay. He saved us from relegation to League One temporarily. Marcus Tudgay, Justin, you being a Derby fan, you must remember old Tudgay.
Is this really underrated football in the Championship, I think? Could head anything. Wasn't particularly tall. Used to go to the same hairdressers as me. I think he used to take his kick. He was bald. I don't think he got his haircut.
Well, he used to live in the same village as us, Disney. And in fact, now that you've mentioned this, the local pub where we both used to live, I was in there over the past week, and they've got a shirt in there with Tudgay's name on it. However, for some reason, and no one has ever explained this to me, the shirt is spelt wrong. So instead of saying Tudgay, it says Tugday. And it's been signed by Marcus Tudgay and everything. But for some reason, they thought, yeah, good enough. We'll stick it on the wall in the pub. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, your local pub is full of interesting things. But, you know, he's such an underrated player. Such an underrated player. I mean, the goals he scored at Sheffield Wednesday. You remember that screamer that does the rounds every now and then? It's just, definitely a streets won't forget footballer, but certainly one of the criminally underrated ones as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a Streets Won't Forget player or a player you've met in a strange place, let us know, secondtierpod@gmail.com. But this has been the Second Tier Podcast, and we'll be back again on Friday with our... Well, it's not a preview show because there aren't any games this weekend. So instead, what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is we're putting our necks on the line. Oh, dear God. We're predicting who's going down, who's going to finish in the top six, and who is going to get promoted and win the title. Oh, dear God. Justin, we are in for a painful, painful weekend. But I'm looking forward to it. So I hope you are too, ladies and gentlemen. That is on Friday. So we look forward to seeing you then. But this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I have been Ryan Dilks.
I have been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.